Welcome to the Retired Excited Podcast. Retired Excited, the show where we give retired and want to be retired folk a look at how great retired life can be. Here we talk to men and women who are happily retired and loving their life. We explore the techniques, activities, beliefs, and excitement of these happy retirees and examine how every Tom, Dick, and Mary can benefit from their experience. Together, we will delve into what retired happiness really looks like and how anyone can achieve it.
Here is your host, Henry Shapiro.
Hey folks, Henry here, Retired Excited, the show providing inspiration for people who are nearly retired, newly retired, or say they're never going to retire. If you're nearing retirement and fearful of what lies ahead, you don't need to be. If you're already retired and wondering how to fill your days, then this show is exactly for you. Here we talk to retired people doing things that make them happy. Things from stamp collecting to cruising, from dancing to touring the world on a motorbike. There's an exciting stage of life to be enjoyed after full-time work, and it's got nothing to do with your financial situation or social position. We talk to everyday retired people who are living the life they want, and we talk to a few professionals to get expert advice. And I chip in with some of my own experiences. Welcome everybody to episode number 10 of Retired Excited. Today I'm going to talk to a man who had a couple of instances or occasions in his life which seemed, I'd say, inconsequential to him at the time, but in the long term they finished up redirecting the whole direction of his life. And incidentally, you can hear crashing and banging in the background, and that's his wife, Joan, who's mucking around in the kitchen. Joan actually made me, especially for me, some drop scones when I came, and that's typical of the hospitality you find in country towns, which is where we are. Anyhow, Ted, he obviously caught the entrepreneurial bug very early in life because he bought a road grader when he was only 24 years old. If I get back to those seemingly inconsequential occasions that I talked about, one of them was when he and a mate went to see somebody, and on the way back, they took a wrong turn in the road. And, well, he's going to tell you how that all turned out, but that wrong turn, I suppose, redirected perhaps the next 30 years of his life. I can't quite remember. And the other one was when he was working along for himself and he got a sore neck, and his neck became so sore that he had to give up work. And when he gave up, that set a whole new course for where he was going and what he was doing. Now, what I really set out to talk to Ted about was his involvement with Lawn Bowls. Lawn Bowls and the local Lions Club. We talk about all aspects of the Lawn Bowls sport, how to get involved, what the ethics and the rules and how it all works, what the organisation of the sport is, and we discuss everything, including what it might cost to become involved as a new player and the sort of help you can get from existing people in the sport. The other major thing, as I said, in Ted's life is the Lions Club. Now, Ted is the recipient of the Victorian Senior Citizens Award in 2014. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to explain a little bit more about that. We don't talk about it during the interview, but that's a really interesting story as well, how he came to win that award. A couple of times, Ted becomes really animated while we're talking, and he thumps the table. Not so good. The microphone's sitting on the table. So please forgive us for that. So here we go. I think you're going to enjoy this. I commence by asking Ted to explain where we are.
We are in a little town called Lismore, which is situated 1 hour west of Geelong on the Geelong-Hamilton Highway.
How many people would there be here?
We have 300 or 400 people.
The listeners probably know that I used to live in this town, or just out of this town. The town's kicked on since I left.
It has. We've got three new businesses when you were here. We've got a new chemist, a new florist. We're getting a new pizza shop.
A pizza shop?
In about towards the end of this year. Housing hasn't gone much, but business-wise, and of course, since the Geelong bypass, The traffic has probably doubled here.
Okay.
In the last 5 to 10 years. Yeah, so it's quite a busy highway now.
For the listeners, you wouldn't know this town, Lismore, but it has got a mechanical workshop, it's got 2 milk bars, supermarket.
Mm, yep.
And a post office. And as Ted said, it's got a coffee stop and it's got just a few little shops. It's a small town that people drive through, but it has got a claim to fame. And its claim to fame is it's 2 hours out of Melbourne and it's got public toilets.
Yes, it has.
Very clean public toilets. So people stop here. And that's a terrific thing because we get visitors coming to the town. Or I used to when I was here, and Ted does now.
One thing too, Henry, we like people to stop here. Myself and the Lions Club, we run the Driver Reviver. Which is a coffee stop, so a lot of people from 2 or 3 hours or more around now do stop here.
Yep.
We encourage them to stop and have a cup of tea or coffee and a hospital biscuit, as they call them, and a bit of a walk around and drive on. So
yeah, that's good, isn't it?
We started in 1989, so...
I'm going to talk to you a little bit about your life before you got here and then retirement and when you retired and how you retired and if you're looking forward to retirement. What I really want to talk to you about is the bowling club and a bit about Lions as well. So how did you finish up here? What's the background of...
I was born in Melton, which is Western Highway. We were approximately 50 k's from Melbourne on the Ballarat and Mullet. Melton was a little village, very similar to Lismore, 300 or 400 people.
Right. Well, it's a major metropolis now, isn't it?
Major, yeah. 140,000 or whatever. And I worked there.
So that must have been a long time ago, Ted.
I come to this. I left Melton in 1958.
I can't work this out. How old are you now?
81.
81? Okay. And you look so young.
Good on you. So I wanted to be a farmer, actually. And I worked after I left school. I went to actually the Melton Primary School, and then I rode a bicycle to... Bacchus Marsh Higher Elementary School in those days.
How far away is that?
For me, it was about 10 k's.
And at primary school, you're riding 10 k's to school?
I left the Melton Primary, and a teacher from the elementary school in Bacchus Marsh, I was in grade 7 that year, wanted someone from Melton to go to school and they could get a school bus the next year.
Okay.
Because he was an ex-Carlton player and I was a Carlton supporter, I said, yes, I would. So I I rode a bike to Bacchus Marsh for 12 months. The next year I got a school bus which took in, left Bacchus Marsh, went round Kamida, Toolan Vale. So after I left school in Form 3, went Form 3 and went working. I was doing farm works. Those days, Melton grew the best.
Was on the edge of farming land, wasn't it?
Best sheaf hay in Victoria.
Sheaf
hay.
So you didn't have it in bales?
Sheaf hay, and it all went. We had 2 chaff mills at Melton.
Right.
And they supplied all the racehorse people in Melbourne.
Yeah.
The chaff was, it was... and were known as the best. And so the man I worked for, share farming, and then he got a little bit short on work at one stage, and a job came up on the Melton Shire for a grader driver. And I was only 17.
They let you drive a grader.
So I ended up driving a grader and without a licence, but I had a car and a motorbike, so I was fit from when I was 15, so it didn't matter anyway.
Right.
And so I drove a grader for the Melton Shire for about 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And it was a small grader and I was doing construction work with it. So it was too hard a job on... with a small machine, so I decided I'd buy one of my own. So I bought a big grader and went working for myself.
How old were you?
When I bought my grade, I was 24.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was getting a little bit of work around Melton in those days, and a little bit doing some for the farmers, you know, around the paddocks, and doing a bit of up the gravel pits and a few little jobs.
Joan, I should have asked him for the short version tonight. Okay, so you were born at a very young age. You're now driving a grader. How did you finish up in Lismore?
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that. So I bought my own grader, and the Alec, the man I worked for, share farming. He bought front end loader and some tip trucks, and he said there's a job going at Cobden.
Right.
Which is in southwest Victoria.
That's about 35 or 40 kilometres from here, yep.
Yep. And so we drove down, we went in my car, I drove.
Right.
We went down through Colac, across the Stony Rise to Cobden. And when we looked at the job, too big for us, we needed bulldozers and scrapers and what have you. So we headed back home. He said, I'll drive. I didn't really want to drive, but you know, I let him. Anyway, he missed the turn back to Colac. We ended up camper down.
Right.
So we stopped to have a cup of tea, and the shire officer across the road, and Alex said, we'll go over and see if we can get a job for your grader. We walked in, the shire engineer was there, and Tommy from Skipton. Do you want a grader up north for 3 months, Tom? Yes, yes, yes. So, right, start Monday. We went back to Melton. I got the map out to have a look where Lismore was. So I started here on the Monday. And the 3 months went to 12 months. And then after 12 months, the shire engineer, Harry Rooney, tough old man, but a very good, fair and great engineer, he started giving me three-year contracts. So.
Oh, okay.
So I did about four of those, and I had enough of roads, so sold the grader, took over the supermarket for 3 years. I come home and painted my house, and the butcher wanted his house painted, and so on and so on. The publican wanted the hotel painted, and I said, no, too big. And Ronnie Hosking, who some people remember, played with Geelong years ago, Ronnie Hoskins said, I'll give you a hand to paint it. So Ron and I painted the hotel. Everyone come round, Ron would say, want your house painted? So we had six houses to paint. He went back to farming, and so I just went painting houses. And end up I was painting houses for 20 years.
Oh, okay. So not...
It took me 20 years to do one house.
Bit of a part-time job, right?
Yeah, so that filled in my life till I retired.
Okay. And so what age did you retire at?
Probably 67 or 8.
Were you looking forward to retiring?
No, my neck gave out. And I couldn't do ceilings. I was having health problems.
Yeah,
not particularly. No.
You weren't looking forward to it. And did you have any idea what you were going to do after you retired?
No, I didn't.
And you didn't know what you were going to do?
No, just retire.
Listeners, Joan is standing nearby, but I might be out of earshot. I'm not sure. Joan, did you have any idea what was going to happen after you retired?
No, none at all.
So you didn't have in mind what you were going to do, but what did happen when you retired? How did things go? You had your rehabilitation, you got your neck fixed up a bit and your back fixed up.
Well, through the lines, you know, we're always involved with the driver reviver. I took over and was running that. We always made the caravan park and the cemetery.
The Lions Club did, they looked after them.
Yeah. So those are jobs sort of fell into my hands eventually.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I still do the cemetery, and the Lions still run the caravan park. And then probably 5 or 6 years ago, a man that looked after the bowling green, he retired or something happened to him. And So I took over that, and friend David Gibson, him and I look after the bowling green.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Which is a lot of work in bowling greens.
Our time off's... That's a good segue, because that's what I really wanted to talk to you about, was bowling and the bowling club.
Yep.
And I've got some really hard questions, some deep... Oh, this is where my interviewing skills really come out. So what sort of people go bowling? What sort of people are involved in the bowling club?
But it used to be, I think, mainly when you retired, but these days it really starts at a younger age, especially in the cities.
Yes.
You know, they start as teenagers now, and they work their way through. Some of them start young, give it away and go and play another sport, and then later years they come back to it.
Yep.
But now, people play bowls, mainly people that like sport and fairly competitive.
Ted, and listeners, you'll see a photo of him on the website, but Ted's fairly tall and pretty skinny. You've got to be tall to play bowls? These are the hard questions I'm getting to now.
No, you don't.
any particular body style to play good bowls?
No. You need a good back, helps.
Right. Now, I've got bandy legs, which is very good on the motorbike, but that's not going to stop me playing bowls?
No, it won't stop you playing bowls, no.
Do you need to be fit? Do I have to work out in the gym?
Not particularly, but it helps.
Right. I'm just going to whisper this one. What about sex? Can any sex do it?
Yes.
Like males, females?
With bowls now, it's all under unification, so...
What, you have mixed teams?
As far as having men's bowls now separate and ladies' bowls.
Yes.
With unification, you have to play both. But it's
basically
Saturday, if you've got enough good men, we have men.
Yeah.
But with our club, being a small club, we're short in numbers, we're all getting older, so we play ladies too.
So men and ladies in the one team?
On pennant on Saturday.
Yep.
And the ladies play, they play their pennant Tuesday.
Yes.
And a lot of the ladies teams now are putting in maybe a third or a half with men.
Okay.
To bump their numbers.
Now, this has been in the news. Oh, one other thing I need to ask you. You obviously have got a fairly high IQ.
Have I?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Myself, not so much. Do you need to be brainy to play bowls?
No, you don't.
You don't?
No, you don't.
Okay, so even moderately idiots can play bowls?
Anyone. You were talking about whether you need to be fit and what. Mm-hmm. The people that have injuries now...
But arthritis in the knee, was that going to...
Arthritis or sore backs or sore arms, legs. You can get an extended arm. You've seen the arm for bowling?
Yes, yeah, like a...
Yeah, yep. And that is that's sort of brought a lot of people with ailments. Yeah, they come back and they can go from a good bowler to a really good bowler. It improves them. It improves them.
Do the other bowlers think that they got an advantage?
Some do. Yeah, right. Our best bowler around here, John. John knows. John says now they should have a separate singles competition for the men's arms because they've got an advantage.
Right.
I don't know whether I agree with that or not, but they certainly, it improves a lot of bowlers. You're lying.
Listeners, Ted just got up and he's giving me a demonstration. This comes out pretty well on an audio track. but you get the idea. He's saying that if you're bowling, particularly if you're a senior citizen, you might loose the ball maybe in the old language, a foot and a half off the ground, but with the mechanical aid, it might be 6 inches off the ground.
That's about it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, performance-enhancing drugs, is that involved in bowls, like your testosterone and Viagra and stuff like performance-enhancing?
I threatened to test a lady yesterday for Cobalt. She bowls in our team of Saturday in Pennant. and yes. She's hopeless. And yesterday she was the best bowler around there bowling for herself.
Oh, she's been doped up.
I think only some people take a few painkillers sometimes, that's about it.
And getting on to sort of the more mafia side of things, is there any money changes hands in the bowling scene?
No, not that no one's ever offered me money.
So
no,
there's no, none
I'd
of
say
this,
definitely not.
So you don't get offered money to throw the game or anything?
Because there's no betting.
There's no betting?
So there's no betting, so there's no money involved.
Okay.
Betting to me ruins all sport.
Okay, so I just needed to get those things straight. So I,
right.
So what is it about bowls that you like?
The competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good social game.
Yep.
You know, we bowl as far as Lawn the Polar Bay, which is right down on the southwest coast.
Mm-hmm.
But you meet, you've got all these friends in all the surrounding towns, and it's a great social game. Yeah.
So you travel a bit?
Travel
and you've
a lot.
Got people
yeah.
who you meet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrific.
Saturday pennant, you travel. So, say, we go Camperdown and Cobden, Colac and Derrynallen, Skipton,
yeah.
and down the coast, Lawn the Polar Bay, and yeah.
Listeners, these are towns, some of those towns yeah. were 40 and 50 kilometres, but was somewhere 150 kilometres away.
Lawn
maybe.
The Polar Bay is
yeah.
Out three quarters.
Good
driving.
Drive, yeah. So you like the social side of it?
Yep.
And you like the fact that it's competition?
Yep.
Is it aggressive?
I get aggressive. I'm a very serious bowler.
Right.
Too serious, I think.
Yeah. You take it seriously if you're
yeah,
not there for
I
a giggle.
I like to win.
Right. So what's the best thing about it? What's the best thing about being involved in bowling?
Probably, as I said, the friends you make over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the friends of the social side, I'd
yeah.
say.
Is that important
yeah,
in your life when you're retired?
Yeah, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think both bowls and golf are both very social games. And we these days, you know, in bowling clubs, there's a lot of ladies that's lost their husbands and vice versa.
Yes.
And it's company for them. Don't know if we haven't much... no matchmaking goes.
There's no fraternising. No,
it's a good place to meet another old friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. How's the bowling scene organised? You mentioned pennant, and I don't even know what that means. Is there an Australia-wide organisation or a Victoria?
Yeah.
What's the organisation of the whole thing?
Yeah, we our local comps here under the Corangamite Bowls Association, the headquarters in Colac.
Yeah.
But we all bowl under Bowls Victoria.
Right.
Which is head office in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And between Bowls Victoria and the overseas bowls, mainly, you know, I suppose, England, Scotland and Ireland,
mm-hmm.
we sort of do play under worldwide rules at times,
okay.
you know.
Yes.
But I think the overseas might set the rules more than we do.
Yes.
But Bowls Victoria in Melbourne.
So you've got Bowls Victoria, then you've got a regional thing, which is the Corangamite, which for listeners is a district.
Yep.
And then you've got your own club.
Yep.
And what happens within the club? How's the club arranged?
Well, we have our annual meeting coming up in May.
Mm-hmm.
You can come along if you like.
Thank you.
Come along. We elect the president and secretary treasurer, a match committee. But very unrewarding job being the selector.
Has there been any issues down at the club? Is it
you mean fix the cuffs?
I didn't like to say.
not quite, but it's like all clubs, all bowling clubs, all football clubs, all any sort of clubs. You've got clashes, personalities.
Yes.
And but that's something you got to learn to live with.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for everyone, and clubs that say we don't fight. They got else on them, so they've forgotten.
Is there any downside to bowling?
It takes over your life a bit.
Right?
Yeah.
You get a bit fanatical.
Well, being greenkeeper, we really can't go too far. From May through till about August. We sort of get our life back.
Yes.
But if you're involved in the club, and Joan's involved with the ladies, selector, and she's been president, and between the two of us, we all the public holiday weekends, you can't go away because we've got the Diary Reviver, but yeah, your life gets taken over a bit, but no one forces you to do it.
Right.
It's just part of what you choose, I guess.
Is it something that you'd enjoy or that you would recommend to other people?
Oh, yeah, certainly gets you out of bed of a morning.
Well, that's important, isn't it?
It's a reason to get out.
Yes.
And somewhat early.
Early.
Well, if we're playing a tournament, the ladies were playing yesterday at 10 o'clock because daylight's over, we've got heavy dew, so you must go around and get rid of all that dew off the grass and let it dry.
As a green creeper.
Yeah.
Is it a costly sport to be involved in?
Well, a set of bowls these days, a new set of coloured bowls that cost $600-700, brand new.
Right.
You can get plenty of cheaper ones. To probably clothe yourself, maybe, what, another $400 or $500?
You get second-hand bowls, maybe half that price? $300-400 you get it.
For $300 or $400 second-hand bowls.
Yes.
Most of the memberships around here probably have $130, $140 a year for membership.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not extraordinary.
We pay, when we play at home, independent, we pay $5 a week green fee.
Yes.
That's just to help run the green. Costs, very costly with fertilisers and sprays.
And fuel and
for
stuff,
grass greens.
Yes.
We're one of the few that's still got grass greens around here, so...
So you've got your bowls and you're talking about clothes. So when you're playing pennant, are you still required to wear whites?
Most clubs now have got their coloured uniforms.
Right.
Yeah, we all...
Okay, so it's not white, but it is a uniform.
Yeah, but it's... you probably buy a shirt, trousers and a jacket for the whole lot, probably around $300, I suppose.
Well, when you compare it to... what people pay for golf clubs or other sports, if you're running a car, you know, in the car business or something, or like me, a motorbike, but it's a lot more money than that. Well, that's terrific. I've just about come to I don't know much else to ask about bowls, so I'll just ask you generally. People who think about retirement and perhaps a bit nervous about retirement, what advice would you have for them?
Well, I suppose most people, either their body starting to... let them down a little bit, and it may be a relief to them, especially if they've got manual jobs or something.
Yeah.
But you've got to look after the mental side too, so I think this is where perhaps taking up bowls or joining croquet or golf or any other sport, but I think you really need... I don't think these days... 70's not old anymore. I think your body, you really need some sort of interest to be active, get involved, and even if you just join the bird club, go up the bush and look around the birds and things. And,
Live life.
That's
what they're doing.
And just getting quickly back to bowls again, then, are there any resources, are there any particular books people should read about it or websites that they should go to?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about websites, there probably is.
I'd heard that you were Mr. Technology.
there's one thing you really need to learn is probably the very important thing is bowls etiquette.
Right.
Lots of things when you step on the mat and start bowling you're not supposed to do. And
for instance, give me an example, please.
You must not stand beside a bowler. So, you know, if I'm bowling here and you're standing there, you're in my eye.
Okay.
You stand back.
Yep.
If you're up the end, up the far end where you're bowling to, you must stand still, not walk around and interrupt the person that's on the mat ready to bowl. What's some of the etiquettes?
So I guess there's a rule book. Is there a rule book or is this just generally understood?
There's a rule book. You need to study the rule book
and
talk to a few of the old bowlers too.
Right.
There's a certain amount of etiquette involved in bowls. Yeah. But there are quite a few rules.
Right.
Most of them are reasonably easy to interpret, but there again, some of the, like the old experienced bowlers will be able to help you out.
Yep. So there's no particular books that they should read? There's not
There's books on our shot magazine. It's a book that comes out once a month for the bowlers.
Okay.
If you've
Who read, puts it out? Is it
Bowls Victoria?
Okay.
Yeah. And they usually have articles in there from greenkeepers and from coaches and, you know, different articles. If you read all those, and they'll pose a problem,
mm-hmm.
and give you the answer to the question and things you need to do when you're learning.
You mentioned coaches there. Is there a formal coaching system?
Well, it's most clubs should or have a club coach.
Okay.
And if you're having trouble with the delivery, you go to the coach and he helps you straighten you out.
Okay.
Our club actually hasn't got one, but I think it's good to have a coach.
Yes.
And he can put you on the right track if you've got a little problem.
What was that very famous in Australia anyhow, that film about bowling where the bloke bowls the googly?
Yeah. Crackerjack.
Crackerjack.
That was fairly well done, actually.
It must have raised the interest in bowling.
Yeah, I think it would.
Yes.
When they used to have bowls on television,
yes,
a lot of non-bowlers used to watch it.
Yes, well, I used to watch it.
Yeah,
I was an expert. I never played, but
I... One bloke that was here, Barry, he used to say, "Oh, that's easy. I could do that." But it's not as easy.
Not as easy. I've only had one go at bowls, and every bowl I bowled was sort of doing... was wobbling. It wasn't running smoothly down the green. It was sort of wobbling. And then after the game, someone said, "Oh, why didn't you?"
But we've all gone through it.
Yeah.
There's not many people die from it.
Well, Ted and Joan, thank you very, very much. I've learned a whole bunch of stuff here.
Good.
And our listeners will have enjoyed that. I'm going to edit this to take all the swear words out of it.
Right.
We'll be right. So once again, thank you very much. Well, there you go. Ted's a really interesting man, isn't he? And Ted's wife, Joan, is involved in the town and the various committees and so on that run Lismore. You'll recognise that I've spoken to quite a number of people who live in Lismore, and that's because I lived there for a while, and for a little town, it's got a lot of... characters and people who really take responsibility for what's going on in the community. I think that's fantastic. Anyhow, he's led a varied life and an interesting life, and he's really one of life's enthusiasts, I think you'll agree. Now, I said I was going to explain a little bit about the Victorian Senior Citizens Award that he won. Through the Lions Club, he established a camp for kids from the local school, from the local high school, who weren't able to go away on holidays. So he and some others, but I think basically Ted, established his camp in the Grampians. The Grampians is a little group of mountains. And he organised for kids to go there and they'd spend a week or whatever up there doing outdoor activities and having a great time. And these were kids, as I said, who... their families weren't in a position to send them away on holidays, and so the Lions raised money and away they went. Well, that grew, and it developed and developed, and it went on for a long time. It went on to the extent that some of the kids who had been through the camp then, a bit later on, became camp leaders, and a couple in particular became really spectacular and talented camp leaders. And as it developed, they started to invite... exchange students. I imagine that's the right way to describe it. Exchange students from overseas. So you would get kids from some of the Nordic countries coming over to Australia, and they would spend time here. And as part of the time they spent, they would go to the outdoor camp at Halls Gap. Now, between that work and the work that he did with the Lions Club, and in particular, his establishment of the Driver Reviver Now, Driver Reviver is a program which all the Lions clubs are involved in, and he described it, but just to say again, Lions clubs set up a stall, or in the case of Lismore, they've got a little shelter in the middle of the town. And on the longer holidays or times when people are, you know, when the traffic coming through is a little bit heavier, and that might be Christmas or Easter, or when the Port Ferry Folk Festival is on, those sort of, you know, long weekends and so on, they staff that stall so that, and there's signs up along the road, and people can stop, have a bit of a walk around, have a look at the local businesses and what goes on in the town, and get a free cup of coffee and a biscuit. And he described them as hospital biscuits, but they're all right. They're pretty good biscuits. And just to settle down a bit before they drive on, it's a road safety exercise. Now, Ted established that, as he said, in 1989, and he's still the mainstay of that program in Lismore. So he's been doing that for 27 years. So for 27 years, Driver Reviver, and the work he did within Lions on other exercises, he was able to be awarded the Senior Citizens Award. As always, I'd be really, really happy if you would leave me a comment on the website. Just go to retiredexcited.com, and this is episode 10. And if you want to contact me directly, henry@retiredexcited.com. That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Keep well. See you next time.
I like that.
I'm going to give that a go for sure.
Ian, that was terrific.
That was interesting. What a good idea.